I'm going to read our text for this morning, Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. If you're able, will you just stand with me as we read this morning? I think standing together just reminds us, you know, that we are one church. There is no doubt we're looking to the Word of God as our source of truth and our source of guidance. It's not what about I say or share today. It's ultimately what the Lord has for us. Let me read for us Mark 1, beginning in verse 16. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I'll show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat repairing their nets. He called them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, we thank you. This is great that we can come into this place this morning as one church, as a family, and celebrate you. Certainly, Lord, looking back to your faithfulness over this past year, over these years, but also look forward with eagerness and anticipation to what you're going to do in us and through us in the days and the years to come. Lord, we are here for you today. All of these stories, all of this life changes from you and for your glory. Be glorified in our lives, Lord. And as we look to your word now, Father, I pray that you would challenge us. I pray that we would be open, Lord, and I pray that for every one of us, it would become personal and really thinking about what does it mean for me? What does it mean for me to say yes to you, to say yes to Jesus all the days of my life? Speak through me now, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can have a seat, yes. And parents, you're doing a great job, by the way. I know we got a lot of little people in the room, and in case you're thinking, man, how are we going to make it through this section? I'm going to be brief and to the point and keep this thing moving before we finish up today, but we are so grateful to have all of our little people in the room as well. And there are a couple of things kind of on my mind this morning. I always kind of have mixed feelings about a day like today because on the one hand, I know right about now somebody's peeking through the door at one of our locations going, where in the world are they today? What kind of church is this? At the same time, man, it is so fun to come into a room like this and to look around and see just a fraction of our church. This is a special place and a special church family. I'm so grateful to be a part of it, thankful that you are. I love you, and it's fun worshiping with you today. I spent 5 days this past July, just about a month ago, in St. Joseph, Michigan. Many of you know St. Joseph is a great place to vacation in the summer and hang out. It's extra special for Jenny and I because we lived there from 2000 to 2005. Our son Joel was born there. It was the very first church that I ever worked at, and Jenny and I were able to attend a worship service there, something we haven't done in a really, really long time. And then that week I had lunch and spent the afternoon with a guy that I would consider a mentor, a very important man in my life, a guy by the name of Bob Moss. He was the pastor that hired me and still works at that church in Michigan. And he gave me a tour of the church as they've done a lot of remodeling over the years. We walked into the sanctuary. I got to go up on stage and just kind of look out and remember some of those first sermons ever that I ever preached. And thankfully, that's before YouTube, so none of them are out there for you to find. It's all in the past, but it was special for me. And as I look back and as I thought, you know, there were some emotions that came over me, and I'll never forget the Sunday after 9/11, 2001. Many of you remember that time and what it was like after those terrorist attacks. I preached that first Sunday after 9/11. The church was packed. I mean, I'll never forget it. There, every seat was taken in the room. There were people that were sitting on the floor of the balcony. And why was it so crowded? Well, people were afraid. Everyone had questions. There were a lot of people, as you can imagine, some of us that just had fears about the future. And it was a defining moment for me as a young pastor as I watched the Lord move in some really powerful ways that morning in people's lives and certainly in the weeks to come. But at the same time, too, it was really the beginning and the start of a kind of a special season, not only in that church in Michigan, but I think for many churches around the country, because just like God, you know, has stirred people's hearts in the past, he used even the events of 9/11 to stir people's hearts and to kind of create this hunger and this curiosity in them. And in the same way, just as God did that after 9/11, I see him stirring in the hearts of people today. Maybe you see it too, and thankfully not because of an event like 9/11, but just like then. I mean, wouldn't you say, I think there's a growing curiosity and hunger in people today, even concern for our world right now, and as a result, God is using it, and he's using you, and he's using our church to reach others. You see that on Sunday mornings right now, all right? Many of you see that, whether you're at our Noblesville or our Carmel campus. We have more people coming right now to Genesis than ever before. It's part of the reason why our Noblesville campus is going to extend to 3 worship services starting this next Sunday, and Carmel's not far behind. Our Gen Kids ministry is growing in rapid ways right now. Rooms are full of kids and volunteers, and there's plenty of energy. Kids are bringing their parents to church, and this is a really, really good thing. You got to hear people like Gayla talk about the importance of serving with our kids. She's one of many that serve each with our kids. Our student ministry is growing. We sent over 150 kids and volunteers to the Mix and Move conferences this past summer, and because of your financial generosity, we were able to cut that cost in half for every student that attended, and so many good things have come out of it. Last weekend, we baptized 19 people as a church family across our 2 campuses. Isn't that cool? And there were adults, and there were young people, and there were students, people like Hattie Nisley. And Hattie is one of our high school students. She was baptized last Sunday at our Noblesville campus. She said this about her baptism. She said, "I grew up going to church with my family, but had never made my own relationship with God." And she said, "This summer at the Move Conference, we participated in an activity where we were called to recommit or commit our lives to Jesus for the first time. And it had been on my heart to give my life to Jesus, but this night gave me the perfect opportunity to commit my life to Jesus," and she did that. And again, she was baptized last weekend, and one of the really special things about that is that her sister baptized her. Her sister Ava, who's a student now at Indiana Wesleyan University, she's leading there. She's been a part of our student ministry. I mean, we see the Lord moving. The Lord is moving in people like Hattie's lives and others. By the way, we've baptized 51 people this year. That's 2 times as many as we baptized all of last year as a church. That's pretty cool, right? We're excited for that. I'm covering some memories. We're skipping some, but let me give you one more. The generosity of our church just continues to floor me. You give, and it's helping to fund ministry here in Hamilton County, but it's also beyond this community. You would be so proud of our board, our elder team, the men who provide oversight and leadership to our church. Let me tell you a quick story. We were reviewing finances this past June and just thanking God for the strong financial position that we ended our fiscal year in. And then something happened. You saw Dan Youngblood in the video a moment ago. Dan is one of our elders. He was talking about his experience in the DR and with the tears was just talking about the responsibility that is on people like us, churches like ours, to fund ministry that's happening outside of this country too. And I'll just describe it as that there was this Holy Spirit moment happening in our elder meeting in June, and we were looking at some of this extra that we had, and through the tears of gratitude, we prayed again, and then a decision was made that we don't need all of this extra. Let's give most of it away. And so right there on the spot, we decided to give away an extra $200,000 for the year to ministry partners and outreach partners. And amongst many things, because there were a number of gifts given, we're going to help, get this, plant 4 new churches in Albania this year. It's going to happen because of the gifts of Genesis Church. And then in addition, you know, we talk about Go Ministries, which is based mostly in the Dominican Republic. They've been praying about funds to start a brand new church planting network in Colombia, South America. Guess what? We got to be an answer to their prayer, and because of your gifts, Genesis, we are helping to start and fund a brand new church planting network in the country of Colombia in South America, and it's all because of your generosity. So praise the Lord for that. You know how fun it is making those calls and sending those emails, and that's just two examples. There are more examples, but think about this again. People are going to find their way back to God in places like Albania and Colombia, and we're going to get to say that we got to play a small part and role in it. And I think you'd agree the Lord has been so faithful to our church. I mean, everything we do, it's all for Him. It's all because of Him, but it's so sweet, isn't it, that He lets us play a small part. That He invites us into the work of helping people find their way back to God with our prayers, with our service, and with our generosity. I mean, when you think about it, it's pretty amazing what God can do with a yes. Would you agree? Like what God can do with a yes when God's people say yes to Him. So part of today is looking back and celebrating His faithfulness. I want to also look ahead with you for just a second, just to give you a glimpse of what we're thinking about, what we're praying about, what we're planning for together as a church family. A few things that as elders we've been praying about. Our staff has been working through these, doing some strategic planning over the last year, basically asking, Lord, is this what you have for us? And what would it take? What would it require for us to be able to accomplish these things through you? To start, if you're taking notes, to start, we're praying about two more locations by 2030. That what if Genesis could go from being a church of two locations to four locations to double over the next 5 years? It's been 13 years since Genesis Church said yes to a second location. And by God's grace, we were able to multiply and launch the Carmel campus. Aren't you grateful that we started the Carmel campus as a church? It's been fun to do. I think all of us would agree we're so glad we did. Well, we want to keep reaching people as a church, but we want to do it in a way that allows us to preserve some of the intimacy and community and uniqueness. I mean, just what makes Genesis a special place. And so growing from two to four locations over the next 5 years would give us the chance to do both of those things. The second thing is this. That means that everyone's going to have to find a place to serve. And, you know, you've seen some of the stories here this morning of those who serve and those who are leading in different aspects of ministry. We could never hire enough staff to do all the work that we believe the Lord has called us to. And so we've set a pretty bold goal of what if we could be a church where 50% of our students and 50% of our adults, at least, doesn't mean it couldn't be higher, but at least 50% of us were leading and serving in ministry. And many of you are serving right now, and so you're helping us reach that mark. If you're not serving, you can say yes, and you could be a part of the future of what God wants to do. The third thing is that we also realize that God is going to call some of you to say yes to even greater leadership, to even something like full-time vocational ministry, and that's why we want to launch a residency program, an internship program over the next 5 years, because we already see it happening. We see it happening with our students right now. Many of them are asking questions about vocational ministry or how they can go do this career and that career and do it as a kingdom worker. We want to encourage that, but we don't want to encourage that with just our students. We know that many of you and some of you as adults, you know, are thinking about your role and your responsibility and how you might take a step into greater leadership and ministry through Genesis Church. Like, we want to be a church where students and adults can learn and train and start leading, and maybe they end up leading here at Genesis, and maybe they end up as a part of one of these future locations, or maybe it's just that they're going to go out. We're going to help send you out, send others out to help other churches and ministries around the country and around the world. And finally, number four, we want to keep growing in generosity as a church, and not just for our sake or our part here in Hamilton County, as important as that is, but for the sake of helping people find their way back to God all around the world. And it's already happening. Because if I could just tell you, I remember 16, 17 years ago, I had just come to Genesis, and we took the bold step. I remember how bold it was when we stepped out for the first time to support our very first missionary ever. And it kind of made us nervous. It made us a little nervous. And then I remember when we started praying about, like, what would it take for us to be a church that gave away 10% of our financial resources every year? And we did it. Do you know, in this past fiscal year, and our fiscal calendar runs July the 1st to June the 30th, but in the 24-25 fiscal year, we gave away 28% of our financial resources this past year. Isn't that awesome? And so that's just a quick glimpse of what we're praying about, what we're aiming towards. We'll talk more about these things in the coming months. Honestly, if I'm honest with you, I get a little nervous talking about it because I have a little bit of an idea of what it's going to take. and I'm not getting any younger, and what does that look like, and how are we going to do these things? But I also know our God, and I know that he is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask for or imagine. And he's so faithful, and he's so good, and at the end of the day, it's all on him anyways. He's just asking us to be faithful. He's just asking us to respond with our yes to him. And he doesn't need us, but he loves working through his people and through his church. And sometimes he limits himself, right? Sometimes he holds himself back. He is patient. He's waiting to see if we'll trust him. Will we be obedient? Will we say yes to him? And that's, if you've been around Genesis this year, that's a big part of the reason why we're in this study through the Gospel of Mark and why we're going to continue in that. Yes, we want to study, we want to get to know Jesus, but also to ask ourselves, what does this mean for me? As Jesus was teaching and training his disciples, what is he teaching and training and asking of me as well as he goes from place to place? Think about it. So many encounters with his people as we've been studying, his teachings, every miracle, like every instance is one more opportunity to teach and train his disciples about faith and about obedience, and so many tests, and each of them with this looming question, do I trust him? Will I obey him? Will I say yes to him? I think about the beginning of Mark and Jesus' bold invitation. We looked at it a moment ago for these disciples. Mark 1:16-20 again. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew. They're throwing their net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, come follow me and I'll show you how to fish for people. What did they do? They left their nets at once and they followed him. A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat repairing their nets. He called them at once and they also followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. So Jesus calls, right? Mark writes, they immediately, in some translations, that Peter and Andrew, they left their nets. James and John are going to leave their old man in the boat, you know, and they followed Jesus. Call it a yes, Lord moment for these men. It's a picture of obedience. It's a picture of faith and surrender. You could say they're leaving behind their security. They're setting aside the family enterprise, their comfort, all they've ever known, all right, to follow Jesus into the unknown. And it started with a yes. But then it continued with a yes. We looked at this story a couple of weeks back, Mark 4, beginning in verse 35. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind. He said to the waves, silence, be still. And suddenly the wind stopped and there was great calm. And then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. They asked, who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And by the way, this little boat trip was Jesus' idea, right? He was the one that said, let's go over to the other side. And once again, the disciples say yes, they obey. But soon a furious storm threatens them. And so many questions, right, and doubts certainly must have arisen in that moment. But once it's all over, man, isn't it true the disciples are going to look back and they're going to realize that saying yes to Jesus means there's going to be some storms. We're going to go through some challenging times. You know, these are going to come in and out of our lives, but they're also going to learn that it's so worth it, that there is nothing greater. There's nothing better, there's nothing more important than every day saying yes to Jesus wherever he leads, wherever he goes, whatever he wants to do. When the moment presents itself, I think you and I have to be willing to ask, like, what will my response be? What will my response be to Jesus tomorrow, later in the week, next week, this afternoon? What will my response be to Jesus? Like when the moment presents itself to us as a church, like we got to be willing to ask, like, what will my response be? Like, will our response be like we see even in these couple of accounts? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Like when we say yes to Jesus, God sees it. It honors him. It brings him glory. He uses our yes to keep growing our faith and our trust in him. He uses our yes so that many more will find their way back to him. And by the way, Jesus was the best at this. I mean, he's the perfect example. I mean, when it comes to this obedience stuff, there's no better example of faith and obedience than Jesus. He was perfectly obedient from the beginning of his life to the end of his life here on this earth. And that's why we say that obedience is the way of Jesus. That's his way. That's what he calls us to, and that's what he desired for his disciples. I mean, he knew he was going to eventually leave this world, but not before handing over the baton of responsibility to his disciples and now to us. And that's why we would say that's what it means for us to follow Jesus. It's you and me every day waking up and be able to pray and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, you can have my life. Yes, Lord, you can have my dreams. You can have all of me. I am here for you as a church. We are here for you. We are ready for the work you have called us to, ready to say yes to you in anything and everything. It reminds me of the closing moments of the movie Dunkirk. Anybody seen the movie Dunkirk? I was thinking about this movie this morning. It's not just a movie. It's actually a depiction of a really an event, a spectacular event that happened in history all the way back to World War II. And an evacuation of Allied soldiers from the French beaches of a place called Dunkirk, 1940. There were hundreds of thousands of British and French soldiers that were basically there trapped, surrounded, stranded on the beaches of Dunkirk, France, and German forces were closing in fast. And so the Allied military leaders, as they considered a plan, realized that they didn't have the resources for this massive evacuation. And so knowing they were at a loss, they feared they might be able to save only 30,000 men at best, leaving the rest to perish. And if you've seen the movie, you know how emotional it is, because something remarkable happened. That word of the predicament started spreading across England. And instead of leaving it to the Navy alone, ordinary people started to respond. Fishermen, shopkeepers, teachers, retirees, basically anyone who owned a boat in England grabbed it, set out across the English Channel, and they risked their lives not for money or fame, but all for the hope, the mission of saving these men. I don't have a great picture, but you can see this picture here from history, that this ragtag fleet of fishing boats, ferries, and sailboats became known as the Little Ships of Dunkirk, sailed across the channel, retrieved so many of these men, and made their way back, not saving 30,000, but get this, 330,000 soldiers were saved because of their effort. And in the same way, that's what the church is meant to look like, isn't it? The mission is far too big for one or two of us to carry alone. It's all of us bringing our boats. If you got a boat, this is where you step in, right? Our homes, our gifts, our resources, our prayers, our service. See, when each person says yes to Jesus, Lord, you can use my life. You can use what I have. Like, God does something extraordinary. People are rescued. Lives are saved. And God keeps building his kingdom. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the men and women and students that said yes to Jesus and to Genesis 22 years ago now. The work isn't finished. We continue. Let's keep saying yes to Jesus as a church, but also in the everyday moments of our lives as well. Let me ask you to bow your head with me. And just as I pray, I mean, maybe to ask you the question, what might God be asking of you today? What does it look like for you to say yes to him? Maybe it's a place to serve. Maybe it's a greater effort with a neighbor or a family member who doesn't yet know the Lord. It's your continued prayers, even if you feel like giving up. Maybe it's a step in generosity. Maybe it's a step of obedience in your personal life. Someone here today maybe needs to say yes to Jesus for forgiveness and salvation. Maybe yes to baptism. Let me pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your vision of what's to come. We want to be faithful and obedient to it. Thank you for our Savior, for the hope that we have in your Son. And as you call today or call again today, Lord, I pray that our continued response to you will be yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I am here. I am ready and willing to follow you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.